Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Kelvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Or you can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, if you are out and about in downtown Waukesha today, our very own colleague and friend, Johnny Watermelon, will be out at Riverside Rhythms. It happens right in downtown, right along the river. It's a really nice event, live music. There's a food truck there. Of course, there's all kinds of great restaurants in downtown Waukesha that you can grab a snack from as well. So check out Riverside Rhythms today, 11:30 to 1 o'clock, right next to the river in downtown Waukesha. And a reminder as well, this Saturday from 8 a.m. to noon, I will be out at the Waukesha Farmers Market.
Oh, baby.
In the parking lot of the Waukesha State Bank. So if you want to chat, we can take a lot of time. We don't have commercial breaks we have to hit.
You don't have a lot of stuff
to get off your chest.
You don't have FCC.
There are no FCC regulations. If you got a lot you want to unload, come on down. We have two chairs. I'll buy you a cup of coffee and a scone, and we can have a chat.
That's a great offer.
Right?
I might just come down and disagree with you for a couple hours.
Right now we are joined, and we just met John last month when Todd Alba and I were on the road and we stopped in Eau Claire. John Ellingson is one of the directors of the Eau Claire Coob League, and he is joining us right now to talk about the big championship that is going on in Eau Claire. Good morning, John. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me again. It's good to be back.
Oh, I had more fun talking to you last month. I had never heard about Coob. I didn't know what Coob was. So for people who weren't like me, what is Coob and why is Eau Claire such a hot spot for Coob?
Right. Well, I'll explain the game real quick. It's a Swedish yard game, yard sport, we call it. Basically, where you have 10 coobs in play, five on each end of the pitch. A pitch is 8 meters by 5 meters. And that translates to about 26 feet by about 16 feet. So each baseline would have 10 or 5 coobs on it. And you throw a baton, which is about the size and feel of a baseball bat and 1 foot in length. You would toss a baton from one end of the pitch to the other, trying to knock down your opponent's coobs. Ultimately, once you've knocked all your opponent's coobs down, you can then go for the king, which is a larger piece, about a foot tall, and it's about 3.5 inches wide. And you can knock down the king. That means you win the game.
Are there different heats, or is it one and yeah. you one and you win and you're done?
No. So Eau Claire became the hotbed of Coob because we hold these national championships every year here at our. We have a huge soccer park where the grass is just pristine. It's going to be a perfect environment. It's going to be nice and warm and hot this weekend. So it's going to be great Coob. But the opening rounds of the tournament are broken into groups of 4 or 5 teams. Now we have 144 teams this year. It's the largest event that we've ever had. In the past, we've capped it out at 128, but we expanded it this year to 144. And we've got teams from all over. So we break into these groups of 4 or 5, and you play each of the other teams in the opening rounds. Then, based on results from those opening rounds, we see they get seeded. 1 to 5, and then you play into a big bracket from that point, and then it goes down from 144 ultimately down to the final 16. The top 16 get to then play on Sunday, and if you're playing on Sunday, yeah, you're one of those top teams that made it that far through all those teams, and then at that point you kind of do the same thing again. You would play a groups of 4, and you play all those teams, and based on those results, you're hoping to get a spot in what we call the cage, the final 4, you know, where the semifinals and finals are played. And I could tell you, I've been lucky enough to make it to the cage a couple of times, and it's the for a silly lawn game, it's the most thrilling thing that there is for a backyard type game. And you got 200 or 300 people all watching and cheering for every single throw and every hit or every miss, oohs and ahs. You just can't kind of, I'm describing it, but there's a lot more that you feel when you're in that position. It's just thrilling.
And what I love about Coop, John, when you explained it to me last time, really anyone can play this.
Yes. Yeah. We'll have people with all skill levels. There will be tons of people that are really playing it for the first time. And we've already got teams coming in from all over. They're starting to arrive right now. I know that one of the teams from Texas, the Cubaritos Rancheros,
there it is,
have arrived. And so they're in town, and there's just tons of teams like that coming. They're already starting to hit the soccer field over there and practice a little bit so they can get a feel what the grass is like. And the excitement is building, and the tension is mounting. It's getting exciting.
It's the Coop Olympics.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's the greatest spectacle in lawn sports.
Jay and I have been we've actually been talking about Coop for a while since she met you in Eau Claire. And it's all about, for me, it's all about the pun base, you know, the language. I just wonder, do you call the last 16 teams in the, do you call it the Swedish 16?
Oh, I'm writing that down. That's pretty good. I like that. That's really good.
Thank you very much.
You can have it, John. You can have it.
Perfect. You might have just coined a new phrase for us.
Boom, 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 boom.
Copyrighted.
There you go.
John Ellingson is our guest. He's one of the co-directors of the Eau Claire Coop League, and they have their big 3-day tournament. The National Coop Championship in Eau Claire is underway. And as you said, John, you have teams from all over the country. What are some of the other names that stuck out to you when you were looking over the roster?
Oh, well, there's a good one I saw that I hadn't heard before. Coobhan Luke is going to be playing Luke. With.
Nice, yeah. Nice, like
how
that.
Many, how one. Many Rubik's Cubes are there?
There's a couple I've seen over the years.
Okay.
Here's a French name, Les Saltés Batons. I believe that means the salty batons.
Oh.
And they're from Salt Lake, so
nice.
That name makes sense.
Nice.
We've got there's a one team is kind of legendary. Is there are 3-time national champions, the Cubesicles.
There it is.
And their fathers, they're local guys. They're probably in their 30s now, but they started young. But their fathers have formed a team called the Popsicles. So that's kind of neat.
Do you have one from California? You have one from California called Totally Cubular?
Not yet.
There
we
go.
Not yet.
See, We need to start a team just so we can have a name.
There it is.
Exactly. Yeah, you need to join us up here. You need to come see this. One of the teams from California, and when you're in casting the Coops, there's a it's called drilling. So when you're throwing the Coops back into play, it's called drilling. And one of the teams from California is the Beverly Drillbillies.
Wow.
You got to love it. Mm-hmm. You got to love it. Absolutely. John, is there a big, I mean, is it just, are we playing for the glory, or is there actually a purse involved?
There's not a purse involved, but there are some really nice prize packages that all the top teams get in each bracket. So we not only have, they have a, you know, a championship bracket, and they also have a silver bracket and a bronze bracket. And now we have one called the poplar bracket, poplar meaning the type of wood that the pieces are made out of. But the top four teams in each of those brackets get a really nice prize package from Visit Eau Claire. They put together local products into a nice gift bag, and the teams share that. But one of the other things that is kind of a tradition that we do a lot of is sticker swapping. So the teams all make their own stickers, and you know, it's kind of like trading cards for Coop players. So that's another tradition that we have when we all meet. It's like a big family reunion.
Yeah.
Just because a lot of the teams, they come back every year. The California guys are coming back, and you see a lot from like Les Saltés Batons from Salt Lake. They're coming back there year after year, and the East Coast. Just it's nice to see these people at this time of year every year.
Well, and that speaks really highly of Eau Claire and the people of Eau Claire, that you get folks you know, coming pretty long distances to play a game, to play a long game. I think that's really impressive.
And the crew and volunteers for the U.S. National Championship put a lot of work into it. And it says a lot for them. And you're right, the city of Eau Claire puts a lot of work into making sure the conditions are great for the grass for us to play on. And we really appreciate that.
We got a text from Lynn in Oconomowoc saying, can you please spell the game? It is K-U-B-B, as in boy, B as in boy, Coob.
Yep, rhymes with tube.
Rhymes with tube.
And I want to talk a little bit more about finesse, John, because when Todd and I met you last month when we were on the road, it's about the wrist when you're throwing the baton, right? It's how you flick.
Yeah, it really is. And you keep your arm straight and just, you know, kind of the best way for me to do it is I picture myself as a big pendulum and I swing the arm and release at the right time and you try and get like a one full rotation and just smack that coupe. There's no more satisfying sound than the end of that baton just hitting that coupe. And it's just, that's what keeps me coming back because it's a thrill of that, finding that perfect throw. And, and it's hard. It's not easy. It's a small, you know, inch and three quarters trying to hit a 2¾-inch target from nearly 9 yards away. And it's challenge. But it's one that's addicting, and you can see it's spreading, and people from all over the country are coming to get that thrill.
Sorry, I just lost my train of thought. John Ellingson is here. He is one of the co-directors of the Eau Claire Coupe League, and we're talking about the big championship that they have going on in Eau Claire right now. Can people still attend, John, if someone is listening in you know, the North Woods area?
Yeah, well, we definitely encourage everybody to come check it out because it is filled up right now, or they might be looking for one more team, I think, last I heard. But
as far as spectators free, go,
it's free to come in and watch. Just come check out the huge presence of all these coupe players all playing at the same time. That sound is just clink, 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 is just all over the place.
John, can you stay for one more segment?
Hey, you bet.
Wonderful.
I'd love to.
John Ellingson is our guest. If you have questions about Coupe, 855-752-4842. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Vast Civic Media Radio Network. Morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text, same number, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Just a reminder, if you want to catch the Brewers game tonight, Pirates at Brewers, 6:35. Hopefully they'll have a better night than the 12-2 smoking they got.
All right, we don't
I
need.
Just, I'm not going to dwell on it. I just think it's important to throw it out there.
Don't need to repeat the score.
You can listen on news from the center, WRCE in Richland Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, and WRJN in Racine, 99.9 FM, 1400 AM. Also in Kenosha, 98.1 FM. Brewers hosting the Pirates tonight at 6:35. If you're just joining us, John Ellingson is one of the co-directors of the Eau Claire Coupe League, and we're talking about the big U.S. National Coupe Championship that is underway in Eau Claire for the next couple of days. You can still go watch, John. You said that it's free, and there's teams from all over the country, 144 different teams. My sister and her husband were very involved in curling for a long time.
Sure.
And it sounds to me like the Coupe community is kind of the same in that people come back year after year for championships. You stay at each other's homes, right? You put each other up. You feed, like you said, it becomes a whole separate little family unit.
Yeah. I know one guy who's hosting about 40 people. They're either camping in his yard and or living in his basement for the next week, you know, weekend here. But they, that is true. Host each other. But the local businesses will really benefit from it. A lot of restaurants are getting extra business. There are a lot of hotels that get booked up from people who don't know anybody in Eau Claire, that type of thing. But yeah, it's going to be exciting. And I just can't wait. And like you said, it is free to come watch. I encourage anybody to come watch and just get a feel for it. And I think once you see what happens there, and I did this for a few years before I ever played in the tournament because I didn't have a team put together just yet. But it was just such a thrill just to watch everybody. You could just get, you got this vibe and this feeling that everybody was just having there to have a good time. And they were having a good time. And it does get serious down on the, at the end of it, you know, on Sunday. Those guys are very competitive, and they are giving it their all. But overall, it's everyone's there to have a good time. And win or lose, I've never seen a bad sport, you know, playing Coob. Congratulate the winners every single time. It's an individual game. You're taking your turn. And, you know, you can only appreciate great play and great shots when they happen.
So there's no contesting of the results.
Every once in a while there might be a little controversy. Some weird things happen, you know, where blocks are laying just a certain way that makes it questionable, or throws might be a little wonky. So there gets to be some discussion sometimes, but at the end of every match that I've ever witnessed, everybody walked away as friends still. So
that's great.
We did get a text from Robert and McFarland. He said, can you drink and play Coob?
Oh yes, that happens. Yes, that does happen. In fact, one of the teams from Arkansas will usually bring up a bunch of craft beers, and then he holds a beer swap. So
fun.
You bring your craft beer from your hometown and put it in the cooler and take one out, and you get a taste a little bit of everybody else's craft.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I would say, Robert, if you're going to do that, just make sure that if you, you know, have a drink, have some hydration, maybe some Klub soda, do what you want, but it's all up to you.
You set that up just
absolutely.
So you can say that.
I told Robert to text us. So are they matches? Are they games? How are they referred
matches.
To?
They are matches. We refer to them matches. Yeah. Yeah.
When when you're on the team, how many times do you get up to throw?
So it depends on a little bit depends on the quality of the skill level of the teams. So sometimes it can drag on if people aren't hitting very well.
Yeah.
And, and sometimes I've been in matches where I have won and I have lost, where one team only gets one turn because the other team won in two turns.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it can go really fast, but sometimes it drags on and it can go. But there are time limits, so each of the matches are a best of three. And so you have a certain amount of time to get through those three matches. And at the end of it, if you don't get through them, whoever was ahead, you know, is proclaimed the winner. So it's got to stay on schedule. You play a lot of Coob no matter what skill level and no matter what success level that you achieve during the day, you play a lot of Coob, especially because the morning is you're guaranteed those four rounds, and then you go to the bracket from there, and you're just not done. It usually ends up being finished on Saturday by 5 or 6 in the afternoon and starts about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Nice.
Wow.
People are listening and they would like to find out more. Are there chapters beyond just the Eau Claire chapter in Wisconsin, John?
Yeah, yeah. There are clubs all over the country. There's a big one in the Twin Cities. There are out on the East Coast. There's a great LA Coob Club. They're all over. And really pretty much you just need to search Coob on social media and you're going to find something.
It's a Coob near me.
Yep, that's right.
And it's spelled K-U-B-B, by the way.
Correct, yep. I was going to mention one thing real quick.
Sure.
One of the traditions that we like to do is teams are always trying to come up with kind of interesting trophies. And so a lot of times in our Coob League, we'll use old pieces of Coobs and then make nice trophies out of them. I was in a tournament this last May, and it was sponsored by King Oscar Sardines, and they made a trophy out of a can of sardines.
That's awesome.
It's a little bit of a contest. It's coming up with the most interesting prizes as well.
That's fun.
What is your team's name, John?
We're the Flux Capacitors. It doesn't have any Coob, meaning to it, other than we're a three-man team, and you look at the logo, I guess it's over here, kind of a three-part to that logo, kind of come together, and that's our, for one goal, and that's kind of our deal.
So. Well, I know we shouldn't play favorites, but go Flux Capacitors.
Yeah, go Capacitors.
Go get them. Find out more. We will put a link up to the Eau Claire Coob League, and again, if you want to check it out yourself. Get involved. It really sounds like so much fun, John. Lots of stuff going on up there because your big fair is going on at the same time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. The same night, Mr. Charlie Behrens will be performing. It'd be cool if he stopped by the tournament, checked it out when he wasn't on stage. And who knows? Get him hooked, too. That'd be great.
John Ellingson, one of the co-directors of the Eau Claire Coob League. Thank you so very much for joining us. Have a great, great time during the tournament, and go Flux Capacitors. Go, yeah. Go.
I appreciate it.
News is coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us if you have a question, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. As she does every week, Wednesday at this time from 11:30 to 12, Dr. Laura Hanks is here for public service announcement, and she has with her for summer research student, Madison. Good morning, ladies. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having both of us. I like to bring friends. I can't help it.
Well, and I think it's really interesting to talk to medical students and people who, you know, like people like Madison who are starting out, and you're our future. No pressure, Madison. None at all. One of the things, I saw this article in the Washington Post. It got posted on Sunday. Because I think we forget that we very effectively eradicated a number of what used to be very common diseases, like measles and smallpox and mumps and things like that. And I think we've become a little cavalier about the effectiveness of vaccines because of lots of disinformation. But the Washington Post has a really large article about people who got measles before the vaccine was widely available in the early 1960s, and some of the severe ramifications that they have suffered since then. And we forget about that.
I really liked how they did that. I thought that was a very interesting take because, as you said, we just don't hear about people getting measles. You don't hear about smallpox. We don't see it, you know, in medical school, they talk more, you know, we talk about vaccines and stuff, but we don't talk a lot about treatment for those diseases because vaccines work.
Yeah. Hello.
So it's, you know, we've been all pulling our hair out really frustrated with this, like, anti-vaccine movement. So I thought it was a really good idea to to publish this article about, hey, this is real, and these are real people and stories. And I know when I was in medical school, we talked a lot about vaccine. I remember the professor just getting so frustrated. It was right around the time of that one lady, like Playboy model, that was like,
oh, Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah. And he was like, and I just remember him being like, don't even get me started on this woman. But that's what I remember. I don't know if you guys learn much now as far as like measles treatment.
I would just say it's really interesting to also learn in a post-COVID world, because there's definitely like a lot more that is talked about with regards to like vaccines. And when we approach talking with patients, it's just a different kind of conversation, because we're learning how to talk about this with people who might be vaccine hesitant. And it can't be as out of sight, out of mind as some of these like eradicated diseases, because COVID's right in front of us. And so I think in a way that's helped with some of those conversations, but it also has made some of those harder.
Well, and again, I think it's important that people remember there are people who suffered long-term consequences because vaccines were not available. And we're talking about long-term vision problems and other from measles, from getting the measles, or even what brain swelling, because measles can involve very, very high fevers up to 104. Oops. Is Dr. Hanks frozen?
They're frozen.
I think she froze.
We were looking at Dr. Hanks and Madison frozen in time.
We'll see if we'll see if that connection comes back.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Calvin, type in a note for. Oh, there she is. You're back.
Sorry, that's you guys all right. Froze.
Yep. So did
that's
you.
That's never happened here.
No, but
the anti-vaxxers are infiltrating.
It's the vaccine injured.
See, when you step on my freedom, doctor, I make time stop.
And can I just go back a little bit to when you mentioned Jenny McCarthy, as who was one of the first ones who came out as an anti-vaxxer. Jenny McCarthy's big claim to fame was sticking out her tongue on an MTV dating show. And we
don't get your medical advice from her.
I get all my medical advice from Joe Rogan. You're fine. It's fine. It's fine.
We're going to put a link to this article in the show notes. If you want
very powerful.
It is. These are all individual stories.
Yeah. And what was actually really interesting, you know, the individual stories were very powerful, but Madison and I were talking about the really interesting graph that showed the spike in measles in 2019, the measles outbreak. And I was telling her at that point, I was graduating residency and my daughter was about 6 months old. And I was so worried about it because measles is so, so contagious that I actually had them give her the MMR vaccine a little bit early, which they said was okay. Cause I was like, I'm going across country in the middle of this outbreak. And, you know, so, and I remember that. But then what's really fascinating is there's this huge outbreak and then boom, 2020. It's lowered. And you want to take a guess why that probably happened?
Because people were at home.
We're at home. We're masking and not around each other. So so we do know that works. It's not because there, you know, people all of a sudden started doing vaccines. Obviously, it was because of COVID. So I always try to find like a little bit of silver lining with COVID, things like that, where I'm like, well, at least it measles outbreak. But more importantly, we just need to really get the information out about how serious this illness is, how contagious it is, and how important and safe vaccines are.
Because don't you, I think too, Dr. Laura, that people assume because it's such a rarity now to see measles and mumps and those things come back, the assumption is that they were never that serious and they were never deadly. And that's wrong.
Yep. And that the vaccine is more dangerous is the misconception. You know, we don't know what's in there. And despite us, you know, publishing lots of data on the safety and whatnot. So
Ben from Richland Center texting in, listening on WRCE. In The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy tells Professor Marvel, I had the measles once and she stayed by my side every minute, talking about Annie M. When we were little kids, we asked my parents why Dorothy said that. And they told us, there used to be potentially deadly measles outbreaks.
Yeah. That was just part of life. Same with, again, like smallpox, polio, all of those things that you don't, you know, see anymore because we were lucky enough to be vaccinated, but they're coming back.
Yeah.
And that's why.
It's just the fact that people don't want to be vaccinated as a statement. There's no records. There's no research behind that backs up their decision other than to say, you know, I'm doing it because I want the freedom to do so. That's fine, but you put yourself at risk. You put your children at risk.
You put everybody up. You put all of us at risk.
I see so many people on social media who brag about it as like traditional parents. We homeschool. We don't vax our children. We don't believe in the good. It's okay. Now it just sounds like a conspiracy theory wrapped in a bigger conspiracy theory. And once again, you are putting your children and your lives in danger by not just getting a vaccination. And there's no amount of evidence they can give me that can make me go, oh, I kind of understand why you don't do it then.
One of the people cited in this Washington Post article didn't get measles until like 2 years ago because his family refused to vaccinate. So this is a more current thing. He was like in his early 30s when he got the measles and he got really, really, really sick.
Yeah.
So
another one that I was going to say that obviously stuck out to me was the person who was talking about how his mother got measles while she was pregnant with his sister.
Yep.
And the long-term consequences that she had because of that. And that's real. I mean, that's, you know, we learn about that in residency and medical school, but to me it was always like, oh yeah, that can happen, but you never see it.
It feels distant.
Feels very distant. Yeah.
And sure.
So to see this story, and it was just very heartbreaking of the visual issues that she had, and learning disability, and all of that, and it was.
And then she died very young as well.
Very young, yeah. And I'm assuming from I don't, you know, obviously I don't know all the information, and I wasn't the doctor, but it was just, yeah, it was very heartbreaking. And as you just to your point, Greg, just because this is such a contagious disease, by you not doing it, if you're around a pregnant person, you're not only affecting that pregnant person, but this, you know, potential life that she's growing inside of her. And, you know, you want to talk about, let's get back to that. Like, you're so worried about these unborn babies.
Yeah.
like what are we doing here?
I mean, that just to me, like the idea of like, you're so pro-life, but you're not pro-life. So
exactly
as the kids say, make it make sense. Yeah.
Yes.
If you're just joining us, as she joins us every Wednesday from 11:30 until 12, Dr. Laura Hanks is here for a public cervix announcement, along with her research summer research assistant Madison is here as well. And we're talking about an article in the Washington Post that talks to people who develop measles because they were not vaccinated. And I think it's really worth an important read. Because again, we forget, and we forget the ramifications, and we forget when measles was rampant, what happened to people who suffered through this. Another thing that we forget about, because it's just not top news anymore, because you can live with it, is AIDS and HIV. And I just think that's something that's not a topic of discussion anymore, because now we know that there are protocols you can follow. So you can live with this. But you've been doing some more research on women in particular and AIDS and HIV. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I was in a class this past semester that talked about interprofessional care. So care between physicians, but also nurses and pharmacists, and what HIV care looks like today. And obviously it's a lot different now that, you know, the height of that epidemic isn't as rampant, like visually for most people. But I think it's really important to talk about because there's a lot of gender inequality and in general, just like discrimination stigma that goes along with just saying the word HIV or AIDS. And most people don't know that around 40% of new diagnoses of HIV are in the African-American population. Half of those are actually in African-American women. And so something I thought was really interesting was that growing up, I don't feel like I really learned much about HIV in women. It's definitely seen as more of a gay men disease.
Absolutely.
And so I just think it's really important to spread a lot of awareness about the fact that no matter your gender or your sex, you can get HIV. It is transmittable. And taking the proper precautions, like getting onto PrEP if you are at risk.
Do you want to explain what PrEP is?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. PrEP is a medication that basically helps protect those who might be at risk for acquiring HIV from essentially getting it. A lot of gay men are on it as a once daily medication. But it's a very, but
as you mentioned, women can also be on in PrEP because they get it as well. So obviously condoms are, you know, number one, but for patients of ours that are at risk, we talk to them about PrEP.
Well, and unfortunately I do think too, that after the initial panic and much justified panic, because the gay population was being decimated by AIDS before they understood how to handle it. But I, like with so many things, now that there is a drug protocol so you can survive it, the precautions are like, I don't need to wear a condom so much.
There are definitely people who see it that way. But in general, it's great to use protection at any point and when there's a risk of acquiring a sexually transmitted infection. I think proper condom use is talked about, but not enough. And there's actually a lot of about the procedure of actually using condoms and how people use birth control or other types of protective methods that may not be as widely known as they should be.
If you have a question for Dr. Hanks, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We will be right back. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come with me. I make believe.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We were talking, first of all, about measles and the ramifications for people who had to live through measles. We're going to put a link to this Washington Post article in our show notes if you want to... takes about an hour after the show for Greg to get those posted. We will have a link in there to that. Dr. Laura Hanks is here along with her student, research student Madison, for public cervix announcement. And we were talking also about HIV and AIDS research and the importance that women appreciate how much that they can be vulnerable to. This is not just a gay men's disease, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So we were talking a little bit about things that you can talk to your doctor about as far as protecting yourself and the use of condoms. What I usually tell patients when I go through a contraception conversation, ways to, you know, for patients that don't want to get pregnant, that I usually end it with, you know, all these things can keep you from getting pregnant, but really the best thing to keep you from getting STDs is going to be condom use if you have intercourse with someone that has a phallus. So, and then I think Madison brought up a good point that's always kind of awkward to talk about, but a proper appropriate condom use and learning how to actually place condoms. I don't see a lot of adolescents personally, but I think it's really important for like adolescent pediatric gynecology, if they have questions, to talk to their doctors about. So, and then, as we mentioned, talking to, if you are interested in, the medication PrEP, if you feel like that might be something that could be helpful for you, I think, you know, again, talking to your doctor about that is a good place to start as always.
Andrew from Maine has a comment on the live stream, and I think he makes a good point. A high percentage of people living right now never lived through A, B, or C, meaning measles, or having to get a back alley abortion. It was never a problem for them. So it's mm-hmm. kind of like it doesn't exist for anyone, and that simply is not the case.
Yeah.
We live in this very like privileged, generation essentially of just like not having gone through that. And by making these, poor decisions, we're going backwards essentially. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch. I mean, anytime I see that, what is it called? The Project 2025.
Yes.
I can't even like start it because it's so frightening.
Look at you right now. You're like getting hives. You're like,
oh my God. But, I have a visceral reaction, like literally, because it's going to affect all of us and so much of my work and my patients and our medical students and what they can do and learn. And it's just frightening.
Well, I just saw new numbers out of Florida that the number of medical students in Florida is down like 13%. People don't want to attend medical schools in states where they're not going to allow you to learn about how to treat a patient who is having a miscarriage. This seems like a really bad idea.
That will 100% affect your decision, correct?
Yeah.
The laws are for what you want to do. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually originally from out of state. And I think one thing that was worrisome for me coming here, I'm originally from California where, I never had any worry about my education being affected. And so definitely being here has given me more of like wanting to have a voice about it because it does affect everything.
Well, and if Trump gets a second term and Project 2025 goes into effect, there will be a federal abortion ban. And they're either going to use the Comstock Act to make it impossible to mail mifepristone and other abortion medications. There are even states that are looking at tracking women so they can't cross state lines to get medical treatment. That's nuts.
What does that even look like? Like, are they going to have ultrasounds at the border? Like, I don't even, it's just like.
They don't think that far ahead. They just say, we're going to do this. And they don't think about details one bit.
That's the thing. And it's just so absurd and infuriating and just,
Well, are we far away from having to travel with a man?
Right. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Really? I'm going to be a guardian now? Come on!
I already have enough to do. You know who I will not be traveling with a man to this weekend, though, is when I go see Taylor Swift.
I really dislike you right now.
However,
you have to lighten up the mood. Greg, come on. What's your favorite Taylor Swift song?
Excuse me. It's called All of Them. Get off my case right now. Seriously. All of Them, Taylor's version. There we go.
There it is.
I hate to point out to you that there was an opinion column in Newsweek that we're going to talk about. We may get around to it this week. Looks like a single guy author, I'm just speculating, explains why Taylor Swift is such a bad role model for young girls because she's 34 and she doesn't have any children and she's had several relationships. So suck on that, Taylor. Maybe you'll be something one day.
I saw the title of that and I got so irrationally angry I couldn't read.
No, doctor. You got rationally angry. That's what you did. In a little bit, I just had a really quick question. I wanted to go back to, as someone who's been touched by AIDS-related deaths a few times, are they teaching kids in school about this stuff anymore? That was a quick question I wanted to ask.
And we don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, no, that's a hard one too, because I think that's something that can fall into the sex education that I know was on the ballot and when I lived in Washington, and they want to take that out of schools. And that's something really important to pay attention to when you're voting and being aware that kids need to learn this.
Yeah. Ignorance is not power.
No.
Ignorance does not make you powerful, unfortunately. Ignorance just makes you vulnerable.
And it doesn't protect children.
No, at all. Yeah. Dr. Laura Hanks joins us every Wednesday from 11:30 until noon, joined today by her summer research assistant or medical student, sorry, Madison. Madison, it was delightful having you with us today. Thank you so very much. Have a great time at Taylor. Taylor, Greg says hello.
Yeah, great. Have a wonderful time. I hope your seats are terrible.
We will see you next week, Dr. Hanks. Thanks a lot. Stay close. News is on the way, followed by Todd Alba broadcasting live from Eau Claire. Thank you so much for listening and calling and texting. It means absolutely everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Have a great day. News is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.